The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday, we made it through another week. We'll see what happens next time around. Everywhere you look on the international geopolitical military stage, you see nothing coming from the West except more provocations aimed at Vladimir Putin and Russia and others, but primarily Russia, of course. The latest bill in the U.S. Congress is calling for $60 billion more for the Zionist, Jewish, Bolshevik, communist, American-installed government in Ukraine. A government, a regime, which has expelled or caused to be expelled 15 million Ukrainians out of 45 million. And as we know, the Goyim genocide, called the Ukrainian military, continues and has ground up and spat out dead meat over 1 million Ukrainian, mostly men, but some women as well. A lot of older men, over 60, teenagers, 18, 19. This regime over there is doing exactly the same thing that the Zionist, Bolshevik, communist, Jewish regime in Israel is doing to Gaza. It's a meat grinder. These people have no qualms with massacring humanity. None. They're behind the plan that has injected now 8 billion people with 14 billion injections, 330 million Americans with 700 million injections. It's the same people. There's nothing anti-Semitic about this. Don't even go there. It's a fact. If they were all Hindus, I'd say the same thing. Facts are facts, right? So it's despicable. Now, in Donbass, we have via Sputnik, the news service, RT. Sputnik is reporting now that officially, and I had the sad feeling that Russell Bentley had been killed. Oh, he's been missing a week ago last Monday. So that's what, 15 days, almost 14 days? 13. Anyway. I know there are reports about how he died, but I'm not going to go there. He was killed in possibly a misidentification case, in all likelihood by a Russian tank crew. We're going to leave it there, all right? Fact is, Russell is dead. Russell went over there, and I think it was around 2014, when Vicky Nuland, Vicky Noodleman, and $5 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars were assigned to overthrow the democratically, legitimately elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, of Ukraine. She did. He left. He's in exile still in Russia, I guess. And the point is, what was the replacement? All Jews, all Bolsheviks, all Zionists. It's like 90%. And the rest are obviously dupes, sympathizers, and goyim cattle just doing what they're told. The country has been taken over. What did Zelensky say 2 weeks ago? I want Ukraine to become the new, bigger Israel. Well, we've been talking about that speculation for a couple of years now. All right, so we go back to 2014 and the Maidan revolution in Ukraine. The overthrow of the Yanukovych regime led to the installation of this vicious Jewish regime of Zionists, communists, Bolsheviks. I don't care what you call them. It's the same people. They have been hard at work outlawing all political opposition, outlawing Christianity. It's gone. And making the people leave the country by the millions, 15 million. Now, some of the troops, the Ukrainian Christian troops, are allegedly, I don't know if this is a lie, probably is, but only a few. Anyway, there's a story out there that some of them are actually converting to Judaism and adopting a rabbi to worship. You know, God help them. I don't know if it's true, but that story is in circulation. An American named Russell Texas, nicknamed Bentley, went over to Ukraine in 2014-2015 to try to help against the obvious overthrow of the government by the formerly United States of America, which now in and of itself has been taken over by the communist, Jewish, Zionist, Bolsheviks that run this country. It's Obama, it's Hillary, she's still involved. Biden is just a pathetic dead man walking who should be in Shady Acres sitting out drinking lemonade if you can even hold a glass. I mean, this is an obscenity, what's going on. Everybody knows it. So Russell Bentley goes over there. He begins fighting for the Ukrainians in the Donbass against the Kiev Bolsheviks. He fought bravely. I began having Russell on the program. I saw him write something, and I invited him. I chased him down and said, please come on the program, Russell. And he did. And that was December 12th of 2015. That was the first time he was on. Maybe before that, but that's the date I do have. Now, he's been a guest ever since and a friend ever since. Russell Bentley represented to the Ukrainian people the absolute best values and morality of what we used to hold so sacred in this country. He was a great American doing wonderful work to help fellow human beings. He fought. He risked his life. He used to report on this program about the big battle at the Donetsk airport, which he was right in the middle of fighting. Many other big battles early on. Just an incredibly brave, wonderful man. When he stopped fighting in the active military there in the Donbass, either from the Donetsk People's Republic or the Luhansk People's Republic, it doesn't matter, it's the Donetsk people, he began working full-time on humanitarian relief and aid for old single ladies who were without food, without water, and children. This man was an ambassador of human kindness that you don't find very often. And I have no problem saying I am incredibly proud to have known him. He did so much to show the Ukrainian people, the free Ukrainian people, that American people are the same. We have values. We're decent people, just like they are. They just want freedom. So Russell retired. I think most of you know what happened in general. I've got a story up at the top of headlines. You can go read about it. It's from Sputnik. He went running off from his wife. They were filing some papers in town to help to see if he could be of service to people who were just under more Ukrainian shelling. By the way, you Americans, we all are paying for this. If we had pulled our money, the Ukes would not be doing any of this. It's our deal. It's just like our deal is financing the genocide in Gaza. We did it all. It's our money. So we're giving now $60 billion more to Ukraine, which in my calculation puts it well over $200 billion, which should have been spent on the American infrastructure. We have over 5,000 bridges that need to be replaced or torn down. Nothing. How many people live in the streets? That money went over there to kill, kill, kill. And now we're going to send another $26 billion to the Jews in Israel. To do what? Kill, kill, kill. That's what America is known for now. So when somebody with the moral dedication and compass and principles of Russell, Texas Bentley shows up in Donetsk in 2014 and starts to help those people and never stopped, is tragically murdered, killed, I hope to God they give him a hero's funeral that the people in Donbass will never forget. He deserves it on many different grounds. All right, well, that's all I have to say right now. But I put up a picture of Russell, and he had just written to me 3 weeks ago saying it's time to get back on. Let's get something together here. He'd been on 40 or 50 times. I mean, you know, we go way back, and he has been through all of it. And to have something of great irony take his life is bizarre, beyond belief. All right, I've talked an awful lot, and I want to bring on our guest this first hour, the amazing, I talk about another brave man representing good, Brother Nathaniel. Hello, Brother Nathaniel. Welcome back.
It's a great honor. I'll tell you, you deserve a gold medal for journalism to have that man on so many times. I mean, come on, Jeff. I mean, yeah. You stand tall with him, all right? So
well,
I'm going to give you that gold medal right now, along with Russell Bentley, for excellence in journalism. Thank you. Serving humankind. Thank you, Jeff Rentz. And
well,
I say that sincerely.
Very much.
I'm not looking to flatter anybody, okay?
No, you don't do that. I'm honored to be able to do what I do, and that's why I work as hard as I do. Same as you. You're dedicated. You have a gift, and that gift is you're able to carry the truth to people all around the world.
Yeah,
and you
both
do.
Of us have an obligation. We have a responsibility. Because of what we know, because of why we care, we are debtors to humankind. That's what it's all about. That's
right.
What Russell Bentley's all about. That's what Jeff Rentz is all about. That's what Brother Nathaniel Kapner is all about. Okay? We feel responsibility to work for good, and we don't take vacations.
No, and we're up late many nights.
That's right. Sometimes you
but
and I are
okay.
On the phone at 3 in the morning, right? Okay?
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, hold the thought for Russell. A great man, a wonderful human being, and his wife, Ludmilla, now is without him. And I hope they give him a fitting and proper funeral. I hope it's a huge procession. He did so much over there, and he held the Stars and Stripes up. Sure, he became a Russian citizen, but he's an American, and he brought our values over there and showed those people what we used to be like here as a nation. We were wonderful, and it's been largely trampled by the same people. Don't forget that.
Yeah, that's a tragedy, and you have this guy who says he prays with his children every night to Jesus.
Right.
I think he's praying to Satan and not Jesus Christ. His name is Speaky Mikey Johnson. The man is a scumball.
Oh, he's slime. Oh, yeah.
Sure, slime, and people like MTG, you know, who's still, you know, a Jew lover with Israel, said,
yep.
What happened to him? Did somebody pay him off that all
uh-huh.
of a sudden he decides
uh-huh.
to give all this money and give up? No, wait a minute, he wasn't going to give any money until the vestibule, the pervert in the White House was going to do something about the border. But all of a sudden he gave that up and just went along with Schumer. So MTG says, what happened? Who got to him? So at least he was able to do that. So I'll give her a few kudos there, you know.
Yep. When you watch the what's called the American government now, I think all of you who are listening, whether you're American or not, wherever you're living, it doesn't matter. You see what's going on here. It's a horror. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute travesty what's happened to this country. And the greatest shame of all is to be laid right on the backs of the American people who allowed it to happen. We stopped the Vietnam War. I remember that. I was young. People were out in by the millions, and they forced this government to stop. Now they won't force this government to do anything. They just go to their phones, keep pushing buttons, and get these little endorphin rushes when they get likes. And it's a pathetic, sick society we have now. Not everyone, you know that. There are some wonderful Americans out there who still remember, who adhere to the values that made this country what it once was. And they need to be remembered. So at any rate, what we have here is a travesty of a nation now, which is absolutely bowing and scraping and groveling to a non-American government. That's not, that government doesn't represent the people. It's not of, by, and for America. It's representing the international Zionist elite. And it's looting this country. And it's not just money that we're being looted of. We're being looted of our military readiness. I mean, it's a fact of life that in this world you have to be militarily able to protect yourself. We don't have that ability now. Most of our musicians, many of our heavy armaments, all destroyed all over Ukraine. We're stupid. And everything that has, I want you to remember this too, everything that we have ever given the Israelis has been a gift. It's, none of it has ever been paid back. It won't be. Same thing with the Ukes. They're not going to pay us back. This government is pissing away our life's blood and collecting taxes to do it. And it is really disgusting.
Well, the master of the con, you know, the art of the deal, the art of the con.
Yeah.
Trump says, oh, I have a great idea. And he stood there with the scumball Johnson. Here's what we need to do. From now on, we loan the money to the Ukraine government.
Yeah, that's after... after about $200 billion gone. But what did these people just get? The games they play are so insulting, so despicable. What happened to us? I can't even imagine the shame and rage that our founding fathers, if they were here to see this, would express. They wouldn't even be able to understand how this country could even be called the United States of America. They wouldn't believe it. Beyond shame.
Well, this is a Jew thing. The Jews want to give this money to the Jew regime in Ukraine because most of his people in that regime, Zelensky, are Jews. I did an article, a video on this last year, and I showed the whole pecking order. The top dudes are Jews.
Right.
We're paying their salaries.
That's right.
So the Jews who run AIPAC and ADL and the World Zionist Organization and the big boys, B'nai B'rith, told Speaky Mikey Johnson in so many words, you ain't getting reelected, little shorty goy. He's a little short thing, I think 5'4 or something. And you're not going to get reelected.
Napoleon. He's got the old Napoleon complex at work. Little man, the little man complex.
Yeah, right. The short man complex. So now he says, he's a wartime speaker. Well, we used to hear there's a wartime president, but he's a wartime speaker.
Brother Nathaniel, did he actually say that? He termed himself a wartime speaker?
Absolutely. I have the clip on
joke.
It.
What a joke.
He did say that. Well, I didn't know we were at war. Congress never declared war, but as far as he sees, Ukraine and Israel makes him a wartime speaker. So as a wartime speaker, he's all for children screaming in pain when bombs are thrown on them, and, you know, phosphorus bombs, okay, and the poor children are getting their legs and blinded in one eye and severed feet, and he's all for that. He's a scum ball. He's a piece of S-H-I, and you know what I want to say there, but I won't, okay. Yeah. That's what Speaky Johnson is. He is total scum. And he wants to call himself a Christian? He is not. He's the devil's son. And I'll say it right to his face, okay? I'll look down on him, that little shorty boy, with the short man's disease, and I'll say you are scum. And the Jews own you, and you know it, scumball. The same ones that crucified Christ.
We have wall-to-wall scum in this government. It's not our government anymore. Nothing.
Not
one bill has been introduced to try to remedy or rectify the egregious treason, highest treason that has been normalized here. The border situation alone is enough to have 20 or 30 people charged with treason. Right now, according to the Constitution, you don't pay for an invading army to come into a country. That's treason. I don't understand why people can't see this for what it is. I guess it's the mainstream media forcing its view on the masses, and it's sticking for some reason, just like the LGBTQ crap stuck, which I honestly didn't think it would. I thought Americans would laugh it off. They didn't.
All right, here's the typical thing. Okay, I'm out jogging, and I started talking to a neighbor. He says, I see you wear a robe. I said, yeah, I'm with the Russian Orthodox Church. He says, oh, the Russian Orthodox Church. Oh, that Putin is gassing his own people. I said, where did you hear that? Oh, I saw it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
He said it with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what am I going to do? To argue with a moron? I said, I had to finish my job. Bye. Because it just doesn't do any good. The man is totally brainwashed. He saw one on TV. Well, he knows that the TV's been lying to him, but it doesn't matter. He still turns on CNN, and he lets them continue lying to him, and he saw on TV that Putin is gassing his own people. Well, he got a little bit wrong. That's what they were saying about Assad.
Right.
But he transferred that, lie to Putin. Jeff, I'm just exasperated.
Here's another interesting thing. Look, this is not to say that Russia is letter perfect. You know, it's a big country. It's got power brokers. It's got Jewish oligarchs all over the place, like in Ukraine, but even more wealthy and powerful. So Putin is up against a balancing act. He's doing very well at it. He always has. It's a remarkable story. But Russell used to come on the program, and we'd talk privately. And you remember Yevgeny Prigozhin and the Wagner Combat Army. You remember that?
Yeah, of course. Prigozhin is now dead.
Yeah, mercenary army.
Got in an airplane crash.
Well, yeah. He was killed, and I have a pretty good guess at who did it. They put a bomb in the landing gear well of that bay, the bottom or the right or left side where the landing gear folds up. It was being worked on at, I think it was St. Petersburg. Anyway, they put a bomb in there, and that's what happened. Blew the plane up. It was done by the probably the Department of Defense in Russia. Shoigu did not like Prigozhin. There was a huge rivalry there. Shoigu is a bureaucrat. He's not a hardened soldier at all. He's never been put to the test, so to speak. Prigozhin didn't like Shoigu. Russell Bentley didn't like Shoigu at all, I can tell you that.
Is that right?
Russell,
I didn't know that. Go ahead.
No, well, he thought that the Wagner military mercenary organization was, and by the way, they had recruiting offices all over Russia. People were signing up all over the place, constant. He said that the Wagner military organization was the best fighting force in the world. That's what Russell said. More discipline, more results, more tactically brilliant, no other group. And he said that the Russian military was kind of like dead weight compared to Wagner. So they killed Prigozhin.
Yes, at that
and the
time,
number two there.
That was a year and a half ago. Go ahead.
That's right. No, they killed him. And they had to destroy. Shoigu could not tolerate Wagner. He was making the Russian military under his auspices look bad. Look weak, look indecisive. They've changed. Now, Gerasimov, the top general there, he's also troubled. These people get to a high level, And the higher they go, the less effective they seem to be, the more out of touch with reality they often get, not all of them. But Gerasimov is not the one. There was another general there who was pro-Prigozhin and pro-Wagner, and he was the number one general. Pardon?
Surovikin.
Yes, Surovikin.
He was
the best general in Ukraine. And because he, yeah. when the Wagner troops marched on Rostov-on-Don and were going to move toward Moscow to demonstrate, they weren't shooting people, they were demonstrating anyway. That was a rebellion. So Shoigu had to destroy it and crush it. And that's why Prigozhin's plane went down and the rest of it. But it's quite a story when you think about it. The bureaucrat, yeah. Surovikin has not been seen or heard from since he was demoted because he was pro-Wagner. He supported the Wagnerians, the musicians, in their combat. Shoigu did not. Gerasimov did not. It's my understanding of it. I think I'm exactly correct. But anyway, go ahead. That's just part of the story.
I'm curious. I'm very curious. What did Russell Bentley, what was his critique of Shoigu?
A bureaucrat with no hard combat experience. Just a bureaucrat. Look up his background. And you don't need a bureaucrat there. You need a decisive...
But why did he feel that was a defect?
Because he had no... He kept appointing people under him, with the exception of Surovikin, who were not the kind of leadership that was needed at the time in Ukraine. This war could have been over a year, year and a half ago. Now, the Russians have used it not only to build up their military-industrial complex, they're getting fat and wealthy as hell over there, understood. They're also using it as a live, open-air laboratory to test all kinds of new combat equipment, technologies. They've upgraded the Iskander missiles. They've upgraded their tanks. They're learning all the time. Russia has the world's greatest military now, no question.
Okay, so basically Putin is not all that altruistic. He's using this military field.
Well, remember, Putin has to answer to the Jewish oligarchs in Russia. Putin has a soft spot in his heart for Jews. When he was a little boy, I've told this story, it's a matter of fact, he'd come home from school every day, his parents would be out working. So who would take care of him? The neighbors. The neighbors were a Jewish family with kids, and they'd take him in, they'd feed him lunch or whatever the hell it is, and they'd help him with his homework every day. So he got to have a good relationship with Jews, and he's never forgotten it. That's part of it. The other part of it is Russia, like Ukraine, is essentially influenced to a very large degree by the Jewish oligarchy in those countries. They're very
powerful. Let me ask you this. Some of my contacts in Russia, some of them are priests, like Maria Zakharova.
Zakharova.
Zakharova. They pronounce it that way, Zakharova.
Right.
But it doesn't matter how it's pronounced. So what is your take on her with all the people that you interview and your keen knowledge of Russian affairs?
I've always liked her. She's a real pro. So's the guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. No, they have very good
Lavrov.
Spokespeople. Pardon me?
You mean Sergei Lavrov?
I can't remember his name. The blonde guy. It's a guy. And he's a number one spokesman.
Oh, Peskov. He's a press secretary.
Yeah, Valery Peskov, I think it is. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's excellent. Look what we have. That little piccaninny, that little black girl, that lesbian black girl. Kareem, what the hell's her name? Come on.
I don't know. I can't even look at
this
her.
This is a clown show over here. No, they're the pros.
Yeah.
We're being run over and run into the ground by the chosen. It's what's going on.
Well, I'm being told by some people, my contacts, that she's the heir to Putin. That she will be the next president.
Who will?
Maria Zakharova.
Oh, they're going to elevate her to I don't know. I would think it would be Medvedev because he was president once already. He's the outspoken between Putin and Medvedev, Medvedev is laying down the law verbally. He speaks very
right.
sternly. I would think it's going
yeah.
to be Medvedev. I don't see Zakharova being...
Well, my inside people are telling me she's the heir, Maria Zakharova.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's why she's often on Russian television. That's why she's often interviewed. That's why she's often making statements. They want
Could be
to
true.
Show...
Yeah. Time will tell. Time will
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Okay.
No, they run a real good ship over there compared to what we have. You know that the Biden, the O'Biden, O'Hillary, O'Biden administration has more Jews in it than any other presidential administration in American history. They've taken over.
Well, it's in the Goyim's face because the Goyim doesn't care, and the Jew knows
that. No, the Goyim
that.
Is easily misdirected, easily contained with their little toys and technology and their phones and their screens and whatever. And most of all, they've got the ball games, right? The opiate of the masses here is the bread and circuses of the Roman Colosseum. You got four sports, baseball, football, basketball, and whatever the hell fills in the slack time. I think they're overlapping now. But there's always something. And the American psyche, many people, identify with these teams to the extent that they literally live their lives according to how their team does, not realizing for a moment that all these pro sports are rigged. It's entertainment. It's just like pro wrestling. It's the same thing. It's too easy to drop a football, whoops, and throw a game for $1 million or whatever. There's a lot of money in this. It's all about gambling and invent. These people go to these sports books and they go everywhere to bet, and there's a lot of money being made, a huge amount of money. So these things are rigged. They're fixed. And I know not every play and everything is, but in general, it's all scripted out in advance. It's just like what's going on here geopolitically. It's scripted out in advance. They're years ahead. They've got it all laid out. So if there's going to be a nuclear war, a thermonuclear war, and every indication suggests there will be a at least limited nuclear exchange, it's what they, the controllers, want to happen. They will profit from it no matter what. Their greed is probably the best, and I've said this several times, the best thing we have going for us in terms of security. They love money and power and control, and they don't want to give that up to a nuclear wasteland. So we might lose two or three cities. Think about it.
No, so they don't want to give up power. That's why I say a Jew never retires. So they think Mayorkas is the head of Homeland Security. I says, no, the guy never retired, Michael Chertoff. He runs it.
He's still there. You made that point. That's very interesting. What an evil presence he is. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He does security all for our airports. He's got a huge Chertoff group. This guy's he's a billionaire by now with
probably.
His security crap. So he runs Mayorkas.
Right. Yes. Agreed.
And he's a Jew. He's a Talmudic Jew in the sense that he's a Orthodox Jew, okay. When you're not looking, he's got a yarmulke on, okay. But he won't wear that in public. But he wants to destroy the white race because it's only the white race if the white can ever become a collective again, mm-hmm. instead of just individual units. They're the only ones mm-hmm. potentially that mm-hmm. can put down the Jew because we once had the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant elite in America. That did not allow the Jew to rise to power. But the Jews managed to get the monetary system with the Federal Reserve, and little by little by little, over the years, they took over the country.
Remember, for 1,200 years, or thereabout, the Byzantine Empire, which was Roman Empire, so to speak, kept the Jews at bay by keeping them out of politics, out of financing, and out of education. They weren't allowed to be teachers, politicians, or bankers. And for 1,200 years, they had no problem. That's a real big story that no one likes to talk about.
Well, that's why the Byzantine Empire is not taught to the high school kids. They don't have a clue.
And a college graduate
in history still doesn't know what the Byzantine Empire is. It's not
taught.
Doesn't
even exist. That's right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, we're in trouble, but there's hope. I haven't given up, Jeff. I'm 73 years old, and I have the energy of a 19-year-old, and I have not given up.
No, there's no...
And neither... Neither have
good
you.
Men and good women don't give up. No, doesn't happen. But unfortunately,
a lot of us have given up, Jeff. Look at all the people you used to have on all the time. Where are they now? Well, we could name them, on 10 hands. All the people you've interviewed, what happened to them? They gave up. They didn't die. They just said, forget it. I'm out of it.
They realized that the behemoth, the monster that they were fighting, was too wicked and too evil. And they made a choice to step out to save what's left of their life. And they did.
Right.
They got out.
But you and I decided, no, we're not going to. Because I realized this is a long war.
It's been going on for...
Everybody got a little excited when I started. I'm on Jeff Rentz. Oh, this guy's a former Jew, and now we're going to get him. And they say, well, they're getting stronger. Brother Nathaniel Katner's doing nothing. Well, don't you know, people, this is a long war.
It's,
so let's
two to three millennia now.
Right. I see it from 1913, okay? But relatively speaking, that's a short period of time. And I plan on living a long life. And I plan on seeing the Jews' downfall. And then we build, and you and I will build together to build a new America. That's the way I see it. I'm not going to die like Samson bringing them down with me. No. Give him 7 more years. I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to start with Susan Wojcicki. He banned my Bible with brother all over again. She did it again.
Wow.
Well, her son died the first time. Now she has any more sons, he'll die too. She doesn't realize you just put down the Bible. I don't even talk about the Jew. I stopped that just to get my Bible's brother back on YouTube. He banned it within 14 hours.
Oh, they know, they watch, of course. And they got AI now watching for them. Here's a paper that's going to go up in headlines. It's entitled, this is really good work. The author's name is Patrick O'Carroll. The Massive Hidden Holocaust of German Civilians. Subtitle, The Satanic Vendetta by God's Chosen People, who genocided 37 million German civilians.
Yeah,
from 1914 to 1955.
Yeah.
That's how many.
Yeah, the one who brought that out is David Irving. You know, he wrote books about it.
David just passed away, I think, didn't he, recently?
No, that was not true that he passed away. He's still living.
Oh, good.
But he's not well. Yeah.
Now, the last time I heard from David was he was over here on a speaking tour, and I had invited him to come on the program, and he called and said he couldn't do it because he said they will come after me and destroy my tour, cause more grief in my life. They really had beaten the hell out of that guy. One of our greatest historians, period, of any age. David
Absolutely, because he went to the original documents. He didn't quote anybody else. He went to the microfilms, okay?
Exactly.
That's a true historian. No.
Yep.
He doesn't have to use footnotes, so he's going right to the original sources. That's a true historian. I have all his books, Jeff.
Got it. Good job. He's a great writer. He knew the truth. General George Patton, if you ever want to read anything, read General Patton's letters to his wife. They're online, unless they've been edited, but they're fascinating. His observations of Europe, the Jews, how the war went, and his realization that, he said, we fought the wrong enemy. He knew. And he kept 3 divisions of SS fully organized and ready to go against Russia. And he said, I'm asking for permission. I can roll these people up. I can cut their supply lines and roll them up all the way back to Moscow in 90 days. And he was ready. And Eisenhower said, nope, nope, nope. And then he was murdered. Done.
Yeah, they murdered him in the hospital. Yes, they did. Well, Uncle Joe was an ally.
Right. Uncle Joe. The only thing good about Uncle Joe was that they eventually murdered him. He got a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, well, what goes around comes around, they say.
In that case, it did. When was the last time you were out doing your thing, your street evangelism?
Evangelism. I do it all the time, Jeff.
Yeah, tell me how
people.
It's going. What do you hear?
This is very important that you bring this up, okay, because I'm out on the street. I go to median strips. I have lawyers that tell me I'm perfectly legal to stand on a median strip with all kind of traffic going all over the place as long as there's a crosswalk in front of me. He said there's no law because someone gets stuck on a median strip when they're crossing the street at a crosswalk if the light changes red on them. So I got lawyers that tell me this. Don't worry. You might have a cop that gets, wants to show some muscles. So they tell me, walk off and then come back 10 minutes later and that cop's, buying donuts somewhere. So that's what I do. I hold up the cross with a big smile triumphantly and I talk to people. I talk to them. And I hear their concerns and I hear their complaints and I hear their aspirations. So recently, I just want to do a little test. This Candace Owen, and I know you got a thing with her, okay, has become in some circles on Twitter, extra heroin. I'm not even sure why. I don't know what she said.
Honestly, that video is a one-off kind of a thing. I don't know what she's doing right now, but she did stick her neck out, at least momentarily. Go ahead.
She's still on YouTube. So what does that tell you?
It tells me everything. Yeah, I'm not following it that closely. So.
All right, well, people are telling me, because I started saying, what is she? I mean, she's now complaining that, everyone thinks I'm an anti-Semite. I'm not. As soon as you say that, the Jews got you, because you're on the defensive. And they'll say, yes, you are. You're doing this. You're saying that.
You are still an anti-Semite.
So I did a little test on the street. So, a guy will roll down his window, and they'll say to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm holding the cross. I want to show everyone how much I love Jesus. Jesus is our only hope to save America. Yes, I agree with you. Now, let me ask you something. Everyone's saying that Candace Owen is now a great hero. She's standing up to the powers that be. And I did a test. I asked about 7 or 8 people as a sampling, some women, some older, some younger. You know what they said? Because I was told, she's changing the whole mainstream media narration. So I asked these people.
No.
But here's what they said. They go, who? I said, Candace Owen. Who's she?
She's
not mainstream. If she was on Benji Shapiro making $1 million a year, I guess. Well, I don't know what
was she making that much to be on that?
She would make a lot of money. And the reason she left is because Benny bought out her contract. And that guy's a multimillionaire.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So I think she got, I don't know if it's severance pay, but he bought out her contract. She's got lots of money.
She probably got a golden parachute.
Guy.
She's fine. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's fine. She got a golden parachute out of the deal, I'm sure.
But not only that, her husband's a white guy. He's a multimillionaire. He's an English-British guy. And his father is the head of Jewish-Christian relations.
No.
But what I wanted to test, is she really mainstream? No one ever heard of her. That she's going to change the narration when people on the street, your regular people, they never heard of her. So that is what I have, which no one else has. Not only do I do my research, I keep up the news, I grew up in Jewry, I grew up in Judaism, I went to the B'nai B'rith meetings, the whole deal, okay? The whole shtick. I'm on the street and I talk to people.
Got it.
And I get their sense of things. Everyone's disgusted, but no one knows what to do, and nobody is civilly active anymore. There's no civil activity.
No, sir.
That
no,
is a
not.
Problem, Jeff.
Oh, it's huge. It's terminal. That'll kill you as a society. If people will not even go out in the streets and hold up a damn placard, which they won't, where's this big uprising going to come from? It's not going to come from what I see. I think this whole horror, which I've got another hour coming up with Erica in just a few minutes, this whole COVID horror was obviously designed as a genocide of goyim. It's the same thing that's going on in Ukraine, but worse. These people are literally committed to taking the world population down by 80 to 90%. That's their goal. And who's going to stop them? Who's going to charge Stefan Bancel at Moderna? Who's going to charge Big Al Borla at Pfizer with mass death? Not going to happen. How many times has Fauci been charged? Zero.
He wants Fauci in jail.
Well, talk's cheap.
Hey, little Rand, it ain't going to happen.
No.
Oh, no, I'm going to interrogate him. Rand, he just got another medal for something. He's not going to jail, Rand.
No. Name one who has.
I mean,
one, name one.
Curl your hair, you know. Get the curlers out of your hair, Rand, and grow a pair.
You're the only person who knows that he curls his hair. I saw that immediately. He has his hair curled on top. That's funny.
I'm an observer of human nature and of human physiognomy, Jeff.
Yes, you are.
Because the physiognomy tells a lot, okay?
Yes, it does.
Like that little scumball, Speaky, Mikey, Johnson.
Yeah, he's awful. I don't know where did he come from? I never even heard of him before they put him in as speaker. I didn't even know about him.
Well, now he's a war
speaker. I've seen the name a couple
speaker.
Times, but that's it.
Now he's a wartime speaker.
Oh, please.
Not just an ordinary speaker. He's a wartime speaker.
Shades of the pervert Winston Churchill, huh?
I'm going to send you the clip of him announcing that. It's on TV.
I will look at that. Just sickening.
He's a little twerp. His glasses are perfectly clean. His hair is perfectly groomed. He's got some Brill cream in it. Do they still make that stuff?
Yeah.
Everything is just perfect. But the man is a murderer. He's a perfect-looking, clean-cut, praying to Satan, not Jesus, murderer. He's a genocider. He murders children. All right? Now he's just in another interview. Talking about he's got a black adopted son and a regular white son. And the black son is up against tremendous obstacles. He doesn't have the privilege that his white boy has.
I didn't know this. I didn't know he had a black son. I don't care about him. So I don't plug
you
my
care
mind
about
up
him. I don't care about him either. But I swallowed it. I said, I got to watch it so I can get a laugh. I mean, I got to entertain myself once in a while, you know.
For sure. Yeah, of course. Yep. Well.
So that's what he's doing now. He's doing the white privilege thing. The wife's, even my son enjoys white privilege. But my adopted son, no. He's going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing that card now. He's now anti-white. Okay, basically. He's scum.
I have no need for him.
How can you say that as a Christian? They say to me, how can you say that as a Christian? How do I say it? I have tonsils, I use the air, and I have lips and a tongue. That's how I say it. He's a scum.
You also have a First Amendment.
Yeah, that too. But I also have a mind, and I observe. That's what he is. He's scum.
I can.
So that's what we got here. We got a bunch of scumballs who were bought by Jews. How are we going to turn this around? We just have to keep fighting. If we fight
knowledge
long
is,
enough,
God's
going to help us.
Our armament is knowledge and wisdom, and that has to be put out there. If it weren't for people like you and this program and a relatively few others, there would be nothing going on. by way of informing people of reality. Now, that said, let me point out that the top tier of alt news, information / disinformation, they're putting out a lot of truthful stories now. It's not unusual that I'll see a story that, hell, I'll run that, and it comes from, the health ranger or the big guy.
Oh, God.
AJ, they're putting out truth.
I despise this man, Jeff. He banned me.
Yeah, I know.
Now he's the great hero of free speech and calling out the Israel.
No.
He banned
me. All contrived. It's contrived.
Okay.
And the reason they're doing it is because the controllers have won in their mind. They've gotten 700 million shots into Americans. They know those people's lives have been drastically shortened. They know that they're going to win. They didn't play games with this poison. This is a bioweapon unprecedented in its evil and its incredible diversity, proper diversity, in terms of killing people. It's anti-life. This thing has taken the body down in so many different ways, which we'll talk about again in just a few minutes as we do our Friday version of COVID Chronicles.
Yeah, I think I need Chronicles. To interject this. I need to interject something, yes. Do you know that there was a pilot program that the Jews ran in Nevada with a lockdown? They wanted to see how the Goyim would react.
Uh-huh.
And the Goyim all laid down. So they said, oh, it worked in Nevada. Let's try it in New Jersey. Same thing. Because they got the governor. I guess they paid him a lot of money. And they laid, and everyone laid down, locked themselves in a house, closed their gyms, closed their businesses. And the Jew says, it works. The Goyim are laying down. Let's make it nationwide. Then Trump says, no, the hydroxychloroquine will do the job. And then he laid down. And then he went with it because Jared told him, you have to go with this COVID program or else you won't get reelected. So there's this man who has no principles whatsoever. He's a con man. I despise Trump. I totally despise him.
He's awful. I completely agree. It was interesting to watch
him.
2015, 2016, he was telling all the right kinds of things to the right kinds of people. It was a masterful performance. It really was. But he's a fraud.
He's
buddies with Vince McMahon? Anyway, the McMahon that ran the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. Carnival act stuff. Oh, yes, Trump was involved with that. He used to go to the wrestling matches and do some shtick, next to the ring and throw people around. And
really?
Yes, it's all showbiz. He knows it inside and out.
Yeah. Jeff, we have to talk next time. You know, my dad, he was a professional weightlifter. He was a businessman, but he was into weightlifting. He trained Bruno Sammartino. You probably remember him.
Yes, I do.
We were friends with Bruno Sammartino.
That's nice.
And I had front row seats as a kid. I'm 7 years old. I'm in the front row seats at Studio Wrestling. Bobo Brazil.
And you must have been, if you're in the front row, you were getting spritzed with, shall we say, perspiration when they were right above you.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Yeah. We got to run.
All right.
Thank you for being here.
Good.
Keep it up.
We had a good interview. I enjoyed it.
It's a conversation. Just a chat.
Well, we get a lot accomplished. I feel we do.
Yeah, we do indeed.
And it's inspiring.
All right.
We sharpen each other, Jeff.
You take care. All right. We'll talk soon. All right. Brother Nathaniel and his new video is, I think it's going up today on the homepage. Back with more in a few minutes. Hold on.